very well-known verse, and let's chant the Sanskrit. Naham tatadmi yajamana havir vitane.
Naham tatadmi yajamana havir vitane.
Shotad grita plutamadam hutubun mukena.
Shotad grita plutamadam hutubun mukena.
Yad brahmanasya mukatascharato nuhasam.
Yad brahmanasya mukatascharato nuhasam.
Tushtasya maya vahitar nijakarma pakai.
Tushtasya maya vahitar nijakarma pakai.
Okay, let's do the word for word. Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Tata.
Tata.
On the other hand.
On the other hand.
Admi.
Admi.
I eat.
I eat.
Yajamana.
Yajamana.
By the sacrificer.
By the sacrifice.
Tavi.
Tavi.
The oblations.
The
oblations.
Itane.
In the sacrificial fire.
In the sacrificial fire.
Shotat.
Shotat.
Pouring.
Pouring.
Grita.
Grita.
Ghee.
Ghee.
Plutam.
Plutam.
Mix.
Mix.
Adan.
Adan.
Eating.
Eating.
Hutabuk.
Hutabuk.
The sacrificial fire.
The sacrificial fire.
Mukena.
Mukena.
By the mouth.
By the mouth.
Yat.
Yat.
As. Brahmanasya.
Brahmanasya.
Of the Brahmanas.
Of the Brahmanas.
Mukata.
Mukata.
From the mouth.
From the mouth.
Sharata.
Sharata.
Acting.
Acting.
Anugasam.
Anugasam.
Morsels.
Morsels.
Tushtasya,
tushtasya,
satisfied,
satisfied.
Mai,
mai,
to me,
to me.
Avahitai,
avahitai,
offered,
offered.
Nidra,
nidra,
om,
om.
Karma,
karma,
activities,
activities.
Pakai,
by the results.
Translation. I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrificers in the name of the sacrificial fire, which is one of my own mouths, with the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the Brahmins who have dedicated to me the results of their activities and who are ever satisfied with my prasad. Please repeat. I do not enjoy the oblations.
I do not enjoy the oblations
offered by the sacrificers.
Offered by the sacrificers
in the sacrificial fire.
In the sacrificial fire,
which is one of my own mouths.
Which is one of my own mouths.
With the same relish.
With the same relish
as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee.
As I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee.
Which are offered to the mouths of the Brahmanas.
Which are offered to the mouths of the Brahmanas.
Who have dedicated to me.
Who have dedicated to me.
The results of their activities.
The results of their activities.
And who are ever satisfied with my prasad.
And who are ever satisfied with my prasad.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The devotee of the Lord or the Vaishnava does not take anything without offering it to the Lord. Since the Vaishnava dedicates all the results of his activities to the Lord, he does not taste anything eatable which is not first offered to him. The Lord also relishes in giving to the Vaishnava's mouth all eatables offered to him. It is clear from this verse that the Lord eats through the sacrificial fire and the Brahman's mouth. So many articles, grains, ghee, etc., are offered in sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord. The Lord accepts sacrificial offerings from the Brahmins and devotees. And elsewhere it is stated that whatever is given for the Brahmins and Vaishnavas to eat is also accepted by the Lord. But here it is said that he accepts offerings through the mouths of the Brahmins and Vaishnavas with even greater relish. The best example of this is found in the life of Advaita Prabhu in his dealings with Haridas Thakur. Even though Haridas was born of a Mohammedan family, Advaita Prabhu offered him the first dish of prasad after the performance of a sacred fire ceremony. Haridas Thakur informed him that he was born of a Mohammedan family and asked why Advaita Prabhu was offering the first dish to a Mohammedan instead of an elevated Brahmin. Out of his humbleness, Haridas condemned himself a Mohammedan. But Advaita Prabhu, being an experienced devotee, accepted him as a real Brahmin. Advaita Prabhu asserted that by offering the first dish to Haridas Thakur, he was getting the results of feeding 100,000 Brahmanas. The conclusion is that if one can feed a Brahmin or Vaishnav, it is better than performing hundreds of thousands of sacrifices. In this age, therefore, it is recommended that Hariyanama, chanting the holy name of God, and pleasing the Vaishnav are the only means to elevate oneself to spiritual life. Om Gyan Virandasya Gyan Anjanasnaka Chakshurindhitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Guruvena Mahajaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Well, one thing that's common here to both food offerings to Brahmins and making oblations into the fire is ghee. And of course, ghee is clarified butter, and butter comes from milk, and milk comes from cows. And so, religious activities to start with, as well as one's own material existence, which is based upon eating, is centered around the cow. So for that reason, cow protection is an integral aspect of not just Krishna consciousness, but actually human culture. And that's why cow protection is considered to be sacred even in our present world. People talk about India's sacred cows. All cows are sacred. They're meant to be protected. And the killing of cows, abusing them, the leather industry, and everything else that cows and cow products are used for is really a suicidal downhill path that will actually destroy society. And we see it. We see refugees, we see wars, we see financial collapse. All of these things are taking place around us for many reasons. One reason, one common reason or underlying reason is that it's karma. Ultimately, when the karma of the world or society reaches a certain critical point, it overflows. It's like you pour water into a cup, you keep pouring, at a certain point it overflows. So there's just only so many sinful activities that people can individually and collectively perform. Ultimately, it becomes a collective liability, not asset, collective liability, and ultimately it will overflow. And it's overflowing now. It's been overflowing ever. There's two ways in which it happens. One is the ongoing affair, and another is in some type of major collective catastrophic events, whether it's tsunamis or world wars or so many things take place, plagues. So, the back to the verse. And in the verse, here, a very interesting phenomena takes place, and something that's very integral to Vaishnav culture, to Indian culture, which is the feeding of brahmanas. And of course, the best brahmins to feed are Vaishnavas, because according to one's level of devotion or Krishna consciousness, then that becomes that much a offering to Krishna. Now, of course, there's this, like everything, especially in Kali Yuga, things go to the extreme. So there are certain brahmanas who, taking advantage of this verse, they make a living. Well, they make a living out of eating, and they're professional eaters, so they're very big, and they just go from place to place eating. Sometimes they eat a lot, sometimes they eat a little, because along with eating, then they also receive dakshina, and so they maintain themselves. They maintain their family like that. One class of such Brahmins are known as Mathura Brahmanas, who are very famous for eating sweets. They only eat sweets. They don't even eat salty things. And they can consume things like, they can eat like 100 laddus and things like that. And sometimes it's known that they eat to the death. In other words, they eat themselves. They die. They overeat. So that's one way of dying. Could be worse ways of dying, like starvation. But the problem is they're materialistic people, and they're Brahmins by birth, hereditary Brahmanas, but they're not really Brahmins by conduct. They're not after Brahmins, they're not the Brahmana, they're not after self-realization, they're just after sense gratification, and the sense gratification is eating. And as usual, wherever there's cheaters, there's cheated. And so there's those people who think that they're going to get some pious credit by feeding such people. And some pious credit is there, but not very much. In other words, you get as much credit as qualified as your guests are. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he often, or repeatedly at least, made the statement that his father's house was never empty. First of all, he always had guests, because that's the duty of a grihastha. Duty of a grihastha is that you always host guests. So if you go to, I've been, for instance, in villages in Bengal and especially in Orissa, where a family, they'll have their, you know, they never live in one house. They have, the men have their own house, the women have their own house, because men and women don't live in the same house. They have a temple room, they have a kitchen, they have a storeroom. And then they have another house, which is for guests. It's a guest room. I mean, we have that term. We use the word guest room, and you know, people would generally build, even it's the culture in Europe, because previously people weren't flying, traveling would take a long time, so they would, people would walk along the road, and they knock in someone's house, can you put me up for the night? So you have a guest room, or in the case where people didn't have a guest room, then they said, well, you can stay in the barn. You can stay with the cows, you can stay with the animals. In any case, hospitality is very much an integral part of any society. It's an integral part of Vedic society. Atithi Deo Bhagavan, that you always host guests. But many cultures around the world, even very primitive cultures, are known for being very hospitable. When a guest comes, then you give the best guest the best of what you have, whoever he is. What to speak of, it's Vaishnav. So these rooms in Bengal, I think they're called Vaishnav Kanda, because they're especially meant to host Vaishnavs, because Vaishnavs are the best guests, and they're the best person to eat, feed. And then Prabhupada said that, and his father, he would always invite sadhus for lunch. So he said there was always 3-4 sadhus, always also eating for lunch. And most of them were, again, professionals. They weren't really sadhus, they just dressed in sadhus clothes. You see, India is full of them, even at the present time. That's how they make their living. They have their family, or if they've left their family, but they go from place, they eat, they get a little bakshish, and they live like that. Generally, they live quite austerely. But to host a real Vaishnava, or a real Brahmin, who Brahmin's business is to understand Brahman, and especially to teach, and a Vaishnava's business is to serve Krishna, to be able to host them, that's really considered to be its equivalent to performing 100,000 sacrifices, especially if you can find a pure devotee of the level of Haridas Thakur. So generally, amongst Vaishnavas, Vaishnava Brahmins are the best, and Vaishnava Sannyasis are the best to invite. Real problem is whether people can actually really cook nice offerings. Because if your guest is not satisfied, then it becomes counterproductive. And I won't diverge onto one of my pet peeves, which is that one of the symptoms of this age is that people can't cook anymore, or it's very rare to really find cooks. But it becomes a very wonderful combination when you invite a pure devotee and you have pure devotees cooking, grihastas cooking. Then it becomes like a sacrifice. It becomes a real purificatory event. It's a very satisfying event because Krishna is satisfied. So because Krishna will eat through the mouth, and it's very interesting delicacies overflowing with ghee. Prabhupada doesn't say just food, he says delicacies. Delicacies are very nice things like samosas and laddus and these type of very nice things. And this was Srila Prabhupada's vision actually for our restaurants, is that he wanted people to really taste the best of Indian cooking. Indian cooking is the best cooking. And the best of Indian cooking, Srila Prabhupada was a very, very excellent cook. Very, very excellent cook. So, and Prabhupada is elaborating over here, delicacies overflowing with ghee. You can't eat like that every day. You can't eat delicacies every day, what to speak of when you're overflowing with ghee. But once in a while it's good, it's nice when we have feasts. And to be able to feed devotees like that. So, Brahmano Himukham Masid. So Shastra says that the Brahmanas are the mouths of the Supreme Lord, the face of the Supreme Lord. And Krishna becomes very satisfied like this. So it's part of our yoga. Therefore, Krishna Consciousness Movement, Prabhupada termed this, coined this phrase that we're a kitchen religion. And it's true, we're known for distributing prasadam, we're known for our restaurants, we're known for our food for life, food distribution, and ultimately we should be known also for our hospitality. Now Prabhupada said he sent circulars around in terms of how he wanted guests to be received with prasadam. He wanted that anyone who walks in the temple should have rice, dal, sabji, samosa, sweet rice, free. So there should always be someone cooking in the kitchen. This was sent around in 19. There was one in 75 and one in 77. There was a circular Prabhupada order to be sent. He said the cook should always be cooking. Cooks for 10, 12 people. If it's consumed, then he cooks again. He said if no one comes, then at the end of the day, the devotees eat it. And that was Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada had a for him, prasadam distribution was on par with chanting Hare Krishna. I've had experience. On a couple of occasions. Once I went to Kurukshetra. I got there late at night, really late at night, like at 1 o'clock in the morning. And we stayed at this dharamshala. There's a few of us, myself and Govinda Maharaj, and so we got to this dharamshala, and we woke up the porter. We'd made a reservation. Yes, your rooms are there. So we were going to go to sleep, and he says, would you like to eat? So why not? We drove all the way from Vrindavan. So it was like a 6-7 hour drive. He says, yeah. So he went, and he woke up this Brahmin, and the Brahmin came in very cheerfully, 45, he said, you unpack, you come back here in half an hour, and I'll have prasadam for you. We came back in half an hour, it wasn't quite ready, but in about 45 minutes, he had sabji and puri, and I can't remember what else, and he cooked, 1 o'clock in the morning. And my other experience was also sort of something late night. And this time there was no dharamshala. We went, we had a place to stay. It was just a hotel, so there's no place to eat. So we went to the local gurudwara. And the gurudwaras have this policy. If you go there, and they serve prasadam any time of the day, day or night, it's free. And it's all cooked in ghee, and it's pure vegetarian, no onions, no garlic. So we went to this gurudwara late at night, about 9 o'clock at night, it wasn't that late. We made it at night, and we asked, is there any prasadam left? He says, no, supper is finished, but you sit down, there'll be prasadam. Called the cook, sent him in, 45 minutes, they gave full prasadam, rice and sabji and puris. So, and that was a long time ago, but I don't forget it. You never forget that. So hospitality is something people never forget. And good prasadam is something you never forget. Because Krishna is pleased, and Krishna doesn't forget. It's just like some extraordinary kirtan that you have, you don't forget. So this whole concept of us being a kitchen religion, but it also means being actually very, very expert. And that being expert is not emphasized as much as it used to be in my time, when devotees were very, 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 very qualified cooks, and people took it as their responsibility. In other words, to learn the art of Indian cooking, of vegetarian cooking, not just heating things up. That's one thing. That's not cooking, when you mix things together over a fire. But to actually cook, and it's a real art. It's like painting. So all children, they all sit there and they draw. Anyone can draw, but that's a different thing than being an artist. So anyone can heat food, but it's something else to be a cook. Just like I play the harmonium, anyone can play the harmonium, but I'm not a musician. Musician is something else. So similarly, cooking and being a cook are two different things. And Prabhupada wanted, yes, we actually, the devotees become real cooks. And here, the importance of cooking with ghee, cooking in a way, delicacies, that things are delicacy. That is pleasing to Krishna and obviously pleasing to the mouths of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas who relish it. Hare Krishna. No questions or comments?
May I please ask, here in this verse, it's about the Brahmanas who have dedicated to me the results of their activities, and I wanted to ask, how can one dedicate the results of one activities to the Lord?
Well, this is a low standard. Dedicate to activities means actually Brahmanas who are practicing, at least karma yogi Brahmanas. That's dedicating the results of your activities. But dedicating your life is something else. Dedicating the results of your activities and being surrendered are two different things. So Vaishnavas should be much more than dedicating the results of your activities. You live for Krishna, then everything you do is dedicated to Him. If you don't live for Krishna, then you decide to dedicate individual activities to Him. But that's a different standard.
I want to ask, for example, in small temples, you talked about being expert at cooking and such. In small temples, there are few people, and they kind of have to be expert in many fields. But being expert means to dedicate all of your time to one particular thing. Because, for example, an expert painter is not at the same time an expert cook, because he cannot dedicate all his time to both of these activities. How do we approach in such small temples, because we are such a small temple, to be expert and to have experts in all the fields that we need, in preaching, in cooking, in distributing books and so on?
Well, it doesn't... yes, it requires time. Really being expertise is also a question of... nature. Someone is a cook by nature, and then someone else has to spend a lot of time learning how to cook in order for something to be good. Just like if you practice a lot, you can learn how to play things. But a musician practices a little because it's natural for him. So it's his varna. Anyway, Prabhupada said, you look it on Google, expert at everything. Well, he wanted devotees to be expert at everything. And he wanted them to be expert at doing kirtan. He wanted them to be expert at doing other things. And of course, Krishna can assist. But systematically, we learn different things and we train for things. Whether we're in a little temple or a big temple or even just at home. So, you know, there's so many things to do at home. You have to keep it clean. You have to cook. you have to attend to all of the different affairs, you have to work. So whatever people do, one of the qualities of the devotee is that he's expert. And if you apply yourself, and then of course, obviously, someone becomes expert because they're learning something they're not good at, and that's limited as to how expert you become. At least you become meticulous, even if you're not expert. And something else is that someone becomes expert at something that they're good at. In which case, you can really become expert. But still, we should try. Because we're offering everything to Krishna, so we always want to do the best quality. So at least we should try. 20 seconds.
I have a question. Is that I understood that prasadam must be pleasing to the mouth of the brahmanas. In our temples, we don't always have guests as brahmanas, but can we extrapolate and say that the food that we cook must fit the taste of our guests? For instance, sometimes Indian cooking is very spicy. So trying to fit the taste of our guests.
Well, we don't. What devotees cook is not spicy. Devotees don't know what spicy cooking is. You go to India, then you eat spicy food. We just spice it, that's all. It's not spicy, it's just spiced. And we're also presenting a culture. So we're trying to teach people that what people pay for in a restaurant, that's one thing. What they get here at the temple, that's our choice. So we may present both spicy and non-spicy and milk products and vegan in a restaurant because they're paying for it, so you can't argue with them. But when they come here, then we want to present our culture. And that's what Krishna eats. It's not even Indian. It's actually Krishna's cooking, and we want to present a type of culture, just like very. I don't know who I was talking to very recently, and this sort of cake culture has come into. In other words, sweets have become Western sweets, as opposed to burfi, sandesh, rubbery, laddu. These things, which are the things that Krishna eats, so Prabhupada said, learn to cook the things that are described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You wanted to add something?
No.
Oh, yeah. So we should teach people how to also appreciate, because cooking means spices. When you don't spice, it's not cooked. And then Prabhupada defines that cooked food means cooked in ghee. Boiled, that type of thing, that's called raw food. That's not cooked food. It's raw. It's just warm raw, as opposed to cold raw. So cooked in ghee is what's considered to be cooked food. And cooking means, and taste means spicing. When you spice things. But it should be spiced nicely, and that's the real art. That's the real art. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare Hare. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.